Remember when we were a part in a Christmas play? You got some of you? I saw a great video from our national office this week. They did a Christmas greeting to the churches, and they went around to all the different divisions, and they were asking a bunch of questions, and so one of the questions was, which part did you play in the Christmas pageant? And it was interesting as some of them, you know, had various ones. So who wouldn't want to be a role of some kind in a Christmas pageant? So as you think about that, I want you to consider that this morning, because we are going to continue Christmas, not only through this week, but we're going to continue Christmas through next week. As we go this week, we're going to be focusing in on the shepherds and on their role, and then next week on the wise men, the kings, and what their role was. But today, we're going to, as we look at the birth of Jesus, this time through the eyes of the shepherds. And who wouldn't want to be a shepherd, right? In fact, any little boy, when they gather together for the Christmas plays and they're giving out roles, that's the role. If the boy's going to be forced into doing something, they're going to be a shepherd. I mean, I'm going to invite some people to help us for a few minutes to visually see that. You can revisit your days of being in the pageant. So did anyone here, you had the privilege of being a Joseph or a Mary? Yeah, Joseph was Joseph. Oh, man, that's... So I need someone, whether you played that role or not, someone that can be bold enough to come up and just for a few minutes sit here and be Joseph. Who's our Joseph today?
Come on, Joey.
All right, Joey, we'll let you be Joseph. We had some other roles for you, but...
Yeah, they want to be me to
ask. All right. And then Mary, the goal that every young girl wanted to play. You can just drape it over your shoulder. There you go. You can sit down there. Every young girl wanted to be Mary. Who was a Mary? Well, that way that works well for COVID reasons. We can have the two of you sit next to each other. So we've got our Joseph and our Mary. You can take a seat there. And Joseph, we're going to move you over because you're secondary to her. You know, so little girls dreamed about being Mary in the Christmas play. Boys had to have their arms twisted because it meant you had to sit next to a girl, right? You had to be not only sit next to a girl, but pretend that you liked her. So Jesus, that role was reserved in many cases for the perfect baby doll that doesn't cry, doesn't wet, doesn't do anything else.
Kind of baby.
Yeah, so, but in rare occasions, they would have somebody that had a newborn. And that newborn would, the parents could, I don't know which parents would do this, but you'd turn over your newborn to these children that are playing Mary and Joseph and let them watch over that baby. But we had the privilege on Friday of seeing a baby that was a part of our service, a little Leaf that was only a couple months old. And he was, their family helped us to light our last candle, our Christ candle. So sometimes Jesus, that role was reserved for that. And the kings, you know, the kings would be really cool to play. And they'd have all this rich garb that they would wear, and they'd have presents that they would be delivering to the baby, right? And so the kings, that would be a role that oftentimes was reserved for the older children, because you wanted to give them something that they could do that they would be embarrassed about, maybe. So the kings would be a one. We're going to talk about the kings next week. And then you had all of these other roles. You had all the animals. Now, the animals were given usually to younger children. Oftentimes, they were typecast into a specific role. You could think of, you know, who maybe you'd want to be that sheep or pig or cow or other animals. When they were interviewing the people at the national office about this, they said, what's your favorite animal in the nativity story? And one of them said a cricket. I'm going, I don't remember a cricket, but does anybody want to come up and help us? You can pick out which one you want to be. You can just sit here for a few minutes and be one of the animals that was present. And don't make me pick you. Come on up. All right, we got Elise coming. She's going to pick which one she wants to be. You're going to be a sheep. And the best sheep of all is over here. We'll let you actually hold a sheep. What's this one's name?
Bob.
You can hold Bob.
Bob.
So we've got our sheep. We got Joseph, Mary. We've got the kings that are coming next week. And that leaves us with the most important role of all. Did you know that? The role that the angel. How many of you, I wanted to be an angel. I didn't want to be Mary. I wanted to be that angel, the one that brought the message. Anybody? We need one volunteer that would come up and be our angel for just two more minutes. Julie wants to be an angel. Your husband is volunteering you. I don't want to be at that house later today. And I'm not going to make you put this on. You can just sit here and you want the halo?
I do need to be an angel.
Dave would say that you have a permanent halo with you. So, and now we have the angels. But then there's one more role. The role that, like I said, any little boy, if he's wanting to play a role in this play, says, I want to be that. That's the role of the shepherd. We're going to be talking about the shepherd today. The shepherd, given the choice between being Joseph or an animal, most boys would pick a shepherd. They get to be the one that goes outdoors, right? Gets muddy and nobody says anything. They get to throw rocks and hold slings and do some cool stuff like that. They get to never have to take a bath. And so most of the little boys would be wanting to be that shepherd. So as we get our play in place, as our pageant is in place, look with me today as we take a look at the role of the shepherd. I'm going to let the rest of you go back to your seats and not be the distraction you're going to be for the rest of my message. But we have in Luke a wonderful story, a wonderful depiction of this scene. And the first ones that were asked to come and to greet the baby was the shepherds. So turn with me to Luke chapter 2 as we continue celebrating the birth of our Lord. Heavenly Father, as we take a look at your word this morning, we want to ask that you would open our eyes not only to the role of the shepherd here, but your role as shepherd in our life. And may we be changed and transformed as we take a look at you as the shepherd. We ask this in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. In the same region as Bethlehem, where Mary had just given birth, and we had talked about that on Friday, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. The angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Very familiar passage. In fact, if they ever choose to take away Christmas TV shows that are familiar to us, I pray that as they start to retire some of these Christmas shows that have been traditionally part of ours, I pray that Snoopy's A Charlie Brown Christmas never gets taken off. Charlie Brown Christmas is a place, if you're not aware of it, not only is it amazing for people to hear some of the Christmas story being told through these characters, but when Linus takes up the role of the shepherd, and then he quotes from Luke chapter 2, verbatim, and it's publicly put out on TV, the truth of Christmas is spelled out clearly through the eyes and the words of a shepherd, a little shepherd boy. As we take a look at this passage and we look at the shepherd, we need to start by taking a little bit closer look at the role of a shepherd. It's something that we're not that familiar with today. Sheep were a vital part of the commerce of Israel during this time. From Abraham all the way through to current day, sheep and the herding of sheep and the involvement of sheep is a vital part of the commerce of Israel. They were used for food. They were also clothing and textiles were obtained from their wool. And they would be weavers of cloth from their wool. But the greatest aspect of what these sheep were used for, especially here outside of Bethlehem, were these sheep were the source of the sacrificial system that was in place, that was taking place in the temple. You can see time and time again throughout the Old Testament the sacrifices that were an example of what was to come through Jesus. And outside of Bethlehem, this was an area that was known for shepherding the sacrificial lambs that would be used in the temple. In the context of this passage that we just read, Bethlehem may have been had the responsibility for caring for specifically those sheep that were used in worship. But caring for sheep was not a highly respected occupation. While little boys may want to play that role in our pageants, a little boy growing up didn't say, my dream is to be a shepherd. See, a shepherd was one of the lowest occupations. It was for the very young or those that hadn't grown up yet. And while sheep were a major source of income in the agrarian society, shepherding was not something to be sought after. Wealthy landowners hired out the job to tend their sheep to young boys. The youngest child in a family often had the job of tending the sheep for the family. In fact, in the next few weeks, as we start in January, we're going to be taking a look at the life of David from the book of 1 Chronicles. But you won't find David's early life in Chronicles. You need to turn to 1 Samuel for that. And an interesting passage that talks about this, we're told this by Samuel. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? Saul was the king over Israel, the first king, because the people demanded a king. And God says, hey, I've rejected him from being king. Fill up your horn with oil, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. So Samuel gets sent to Bethlehem. Why? To identify the next king, the king that would have God's hand of approval for leading Israel. And it goes, Samuel did what the Lord commanded him, and he came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came to him and met with him fearfully, saying, do you come peaceably? They thought Samuel, as the prophet, was coming to bring judgment. He says, I'm coming to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to sacrifice. And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they came, Samuel looks at Eliab and he thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him, the first son, big, tall Eliab. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at your heart." Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And then he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And then Jesse made Shammah pass before. And he said, "Neither has this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Finally, it's getting to the end, and he's a little exasperated, and it's because the Lord hasn't chosen these either. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" And Jesse said, "There remains the youngest. But behold, he's just out keeping the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes." And little David gets called in from the sheep, from being the shepherd. Little David gets called in and gets an oil poured over his head and anoints him as the king. You see, shepherds weren't really something that someone sought after to become. Now, a king, yeah. Who would have thought that a little shepherd boy is the king of Israel? The job was fairly simple. That's why they could entrust it to a young boy. Fairly simple. You need to keep the sheep fed. In other words, you have to move them from pasture to pasture. The sheep would eat down, and they would, if they're allowed to stay, they would destroy a pasture. And so you move them from pasture to pasture, finding green food for them to eat. The other thing what you need is you needed still water. You needed a source of water for them, because they're stupid sheep, and they would walk into raging water to get something to drink, and you know, their wool would get all soaked and weighed down, and they'd get pulled into the torrent. So this young shepherd would get them food, give them water, kind of like your pets at home, right? You get a pet, and you tell the kids, "Okay, now it's your job to take care of the pet, and you have to feed the pet, you have to water the pet, and you have to take the pet out to go to the bathroom. And then you have to clean up after the pet." But the youngest child here would be given the job of feeding and watering, but then they also needed to pay attention to the sheep. You pay attention to them because an insect could get in and infect them, and they would get sick. Or a wolf may come in, and or some sort of an animal that's a predator would come in and try and steal them away, eat them. So you had to protect them. Or a thief would come in and try and steal it. The job was fairly simple. Feed, water, protect. Feed, water, protect. A shepherd's role was a stepping stone for some. They'd start out here and they would grow into managing larger responsibility. That's what happened with Jesse and his sons. Probably Eliab started out watching the sheep. But then when there was somebody that could be passed off to and Eliab could be trained on the next responsibility with the farm, they would hand it over to him. So it was a stepping stone for proving yourself and managing your father's estate. And now we find Jesus. And in Luke chapter 2, we see it stated here, the angel of the Lord, so in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch. What region? We saw this on Friday night when we looked at verses 1 through 7. And it was that they came into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Do you remember where Jesse was from? Did you hear me that? Samuel went to Jesse the Bethlehemite. Bethlehem was the hometown of David. And now it becomes the birthplace of Jesus. Another shepherd. Another shepherd. A shepherd who would take the throne of his predecessor David. If you turn to John chapter 10. We're going to find that woven into the script of this Christmas play, there's a hidden truth that we can find joy in the shepherd. And in John chapter 10, we find joy in the shepherd who defends your well-being at all costs. See, Jesus aligned himself with the role of the shepherd. He's talking to the disciples here, and he comes to them. He's describing himself, and he says what we heard read earlier at the beginning of the service. He describes himself in many ways, but then as we get to verse 10, it says, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life and have life abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." So the first thing we see about Jesus as the shepherd is that Jesus is the good shepherd. You know, there's a difference between a good shepherd and an adequate shepherd. Or a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. Did you see that it talks about that there's this hired person. And if a father didn't have a son he could entrust the sheep to, he'd hire it out. And they weren't paid very well. So you got this young guy that's being paid a measly amount to watch the sheep. And now you got a wolf that comes. You ain't paying me enough to do this. Right? My life is worth more than me giving up anything for that sheep. And so what does the hired hand do? He leaves. He abandons the sheep. But not the son. The son of the father. And it's interesting the contrast here. The difference is the hired hand versus the son. The son knows if he goes home and tells dad, "Hey, a wolf came and took all the sheep," he's going to have to deal with dad. But also he knows that those sheep are his future. Right? It's his inheritance. And so he's going to guard and protect those sheep, even at the cost of his life. Jesus, the good shepherd, tells the disciples, "I'm going to lay down my life for you." The Father's sheep. You can find the joy of the shepherd in the Son who is willing to lay down his life at all costs to defend you, to protect you. This leads to our next description of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, verses 14 and 15. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." Next part of the good shepherd is that we can find joy in the shepherd who is personal and approachable. So this is the shepherd that the sheep are not just a commodity for him. I'm not just here to run them off to market and make money off of them, but I know these sheep. In fact, I call them each by name. They've got different traits. They've got different quirks about them, and I'm going to call them by name. And in fact, when I call them in at night to protect them from the wolves and the thieves, and I bring them into, whether it's a cave that I bring them into or I bring them into a fenced-in area, I'm going to lay myself down in front of the gate. If anybody's going to try and get in and get these sheep, they got to get through me. Why? They're mine. And there's a personal aspect of the good shepherd, the relationship with the sheep. And he is approachable by the sheep. He's not the shepherd that takes the staff and the rod that are to be used, you know, the rods to be used to guard against the wolf. It's like the sidearm that the shepherd's carrying to protect the sheep. The wolf comes in and he's going to beat that wolf down with that rod. But you don't beat down your sheep. No, you use the staff, and the staff's used to prod them in the right direction. Or if they're getting into that river that's raging, you use the hook and you pull them out to safety. And that shepherd, the sheep know the shepherd. He's approachable. I don't fear my shepherd. I don't fear him because he's not going to be abusive. I'm not a commodity to him. The joy of a shepherd who is personal and approachable is found in Jesus, the good shepherd. See, Jesus knows you and wants to be known by you. Jesus is the shepherd who names each of you, knows you each by your name. And that leads to our last description of the role of Jesus as the shepherd. And we find joy in the shepherd who accepts all who are lost and abandoned. The shepherd who accepts all who are lost and abandoned. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. As we're sitting here, we're hearing a story of Israel. Israel was God's nation, God's people. And the shepherds, all through their history, were examples of one that would care for God's people, his flock. But Jesus approaches something totally new here with the disciples. It would not have been unique, it would not have been odd for them to hear him say, "Hey, you're my sheep." But now he says something very odd. He said, there's other sheep. There's others that are wanting to be brought into the fold, wanting to become a part of this flock. And I will find joy in accepting them into my flock. In fact, I will go out and I'll seek the lost. I will go out and I'll seek the ones who are abandoned. And I will comfort them. I will become their good shepherd. Right? I will lay my life down for them. I will call them by name. I will be approachable and personal. See, in the nativity scene, we have this wonderful picture of Jesus with the very first individuals who were called to his cradle to come praise what God had done. Do you remember what the angels said to the shepherds? Turn back to Luke 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. Glory of the Lord shone around them. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." They had waited for centuries for God to fulfill the promised Messiah, the one that was going to come and take away the sin. And now, through a child in a manger, that goes to a cross as a savior, the fulfillment of the shepherd is seen. If you're sitting here and you're not Jewish, you're another sheep. You're that sheep of another pasture. And I praise God that he chose to come after me, to go and to seek me out, to invite me into the fold, that Jesus is my good shepherd. He chose to please the Father by coming after the sheep. He chose to please the Father by bringing us in and including us. He chose to please the Father by calling us, naming us, valuing us as his own, not as a commodity. And Jesus, we find the joy in the Good Shepherd who then also protects us even by giving up his life for our sake. We need to hang on to the nativity for a little while longer, don't we? Don't dismiss it. Don't start taking the lights down and putting everything away and saying, I'm glad Christmas is done now. Christmas is the start. Heavenly Father, as we continue to revel in this picture of the Nativity, as we continue to see the characters unfold and the story of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, being lived out before us, I ask, Lord, that if there are those that are still ignorant, not knowing this, not understanding that he wants to call them by name, I pray that your Spirit would draw them to himself. And that even right now, those here or those online would desire to have Jesus become their good shepherd, their protector, the one that includes them. And Father, I want to ask that you would cause those of us who have been believers, followers, sheep of your pasture for a while now to not dismiss these things so easily, but rather to revel in them, to appreciate them. Lord, may we step into the sandals of the shepherd boy from the Nativity, and may we find joy in the Good Shepherd of our souls. In your name.